It is April 13th, 2021, and they gave me a transplant for a brand new start here covering NXT Tuesdays on the Wrestle Gang podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein with NYC Demon Diva and Alfred Kanawa here to talk about NXT. It's a new era. It's begun. No longer on Wednesday nights. No longer going head-to-head with AEW. No more of, oh, we've got to talk about AEW first, then we got 5 minutes to talk about NXT at the end. People saying, when are you going to get to NXT? Why aren't you bouncing out? Well, now NXT has its own show, its own recap show for Wrestling Inc. We're going to be holding it down here every Tuesday. I'm free for Monday. I feel like I escaped the island. I don't have to talk about Raw anymore.
Congratulations,
I'm so overjoyed.
Yo, that's a big step up for you.
Huge deal.
Huge. Yeah. Raj tried to get me. And even after I quit Mondays, he called me. I was like, oh, come on, man. It'll be fun.
I was like, there's no. Nothing fun about Monday Night Raw.
No, I am not going back. I will do pay-per-views Tuesday and Friday, and that's it. That's it.
It's like you broke out of Wrestling Inc. jail.
Oh, my God. And I didn't watch last night. You know what was great about it? Is I was reading the recaps and stuff online, and I was like, I am missing nothing. I am missing nothing by not watching this.
No, I mean, you were missing something, but it was nothing to worth watching, that's for sure.
And then the thing I was intrigued about, I was like, oh, what are they doing with Bray? Guess what? I watched a 1 minute clip on Twitter and I was like, I'm caught up. I'm good. Saw what I need to see. But tonight, NXT, this was a great opportunity for NXT. Now, I think we have some different perspectives because I've been a takeover guy since I stopped doing Wednesdays. I've not been watching the regular product week in and week out. And I have to confess, I didn't watch all of Takeover last week. So I'm coming into it a little fresh. But here's the thing, though. A lot of fans are. There's a lot of fans tonight that are watching NXT because they're like, finally, I've been meaning to check this out. It's not on opposite AEW. I think this is a gateway show. And what I want to talk about tonight is I want to go through the segments, but I want to make sure we're also sort of educating people, bringing up to speed. I'm going to be leaning on the both of you to sort of bring people up to speed with where we are with this, because I think a lot of people tuning in tonight, there were some familiar things, but also a lot has changed. This, you know, if you haven't watched in a while, this was a pretty different show, some pretty different champions, some pretty different storylines.
Yeah.
And it was good for me. It feels like coming back into Saturday Night Live after not watching for a few seasons and Keenan's still there and I don't really recognize anyone else, but that's fine because I've got some gateway. It's good. It's good times. Brett Murphy, $5, starting us off with a super chat saying this was the second greatest moment in NXT history with Raquel, Rhea, and Bianca all together in the same ring. This should have easily closed the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was so good. It should have. That would have been a great visual to go off the air. But you also don't want to go off the air with two stars that are just there for the moment and not really you're going to see them every week. If you're going to highlight main event, it should be, you know, your people that are part of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that more than anything felt like Raw after Mania in terms of just this really big moment with all these women celebrating together. I thought that felt, in terms of them being from NXT and then coming home to all celebrate, such a great commercial for NXT. And it's great that they did it on this show, which, like you said, Glenn, this is a transition. For a lot of people, it's going to be an introduction. What is this brand? Why should I care about NXT if I watch WWE main roster programming every week? Well, you see these women coming in here and they're, you know, main event to WrestleMania. They're two world champions on the main roster, one in NXT. Then you get to know, oh, so now Raquel is going to one day be on the main roster being a champion. So maybe I should stick with NXT. So that was really smart of them to do.
Yeah. It was good. And, you know, if I have to nitpick, my dream scenario, people have been saying forever, we need more NXT homecoming style shows. I think tonight might have been a good night to do that. There were some feel-good moments, good showcase of talent tonight, but I think that segment in particular with the three champs there in the ring was just so magical. I think a few more moments like that tonight would have been perfect, but all in all, this was a really solid show, and we opened it tonight with Karrion Kross out with Scarlett to kick off after his victory at TakeOver Stand and Deliver. Karrion Kross is champ. So he had to relinquish the title once before. He's champion once again. And I liked what he said, that when you're at the top, people think there's nowhere to go but down, but he's there to prove them wrong. Issa, talk a little bit about Karrion Kross and why his return has been so exciting and what you thought of this promo tonight.
Absolutely love Karrion Kross. I love, obviously, Scarlett with him. Their whole act is just top notch. I wanted him to gain the title back as soon as he came back, just because of the fact he had to relinquish, and I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do as the champion of NXT, right? Mm-hmm. I love the promo that he cut tonight. I personally love their match the best of night too. I know a lot of people like the unsanctioned match, and I think it was an amazing match, but for my personal taste, I thought Finn Balor and Karrion Kross put on an amazing match. So I love the fact that he gave Finn Balor his, you know, his shoutouts, because he's technically speaking a heel. No, is he a heel or is he a babyface? What is
Finn Balor?
No, Karrion Kross.
Yeah, Karrion is a babyface who gets cheered like, or a heel gets cheered like a babyface.
Right. Because I'm like so confused by it. But the fact that he just, you know, gave Finn Balor his props, I am excited. There was a part of me that was waiting for an interruption so we could see who's going to be next on this, on this program. And it didn't happen. So I felt very 50-50, because I was like, okay, you know what? It's the first NXT on Tuesday. New crowd watching the show. Let's introduce him and keep us coming back next week to see, because he kind of called out the entire locker room. So we'll see what happens next week. But I was waiting for the interruption, and I was like, okay, when is it going to happen? And it didn't happen. But overall, great promo, and he looks great as champion.
I'm like Issa. I was waiting for the interruption too, and when it didn't happen, I was even happier, because I'm like, that kind of builds credibility for Karrion Kross, because he's such a bad dude. Nobody wants to come up and step to him. So that's part of his mystique. The more I think about it, the less people interrupting him and feeling that they want to step up to Karrion Kross, the better for how much they're presenting him as like such a killer. I kind of feel that in the opposite of the women's division, and that the women's division, which I think might be the best division anywhere, is doing a good job building contenders. The men's division, I think right now, for the time being, with Karrion Kross as this dominant champion, maybe they can get away with having this guy to where one at a time somebody has the balls to step up to Karrion Kross. My only problem with this is that the less they talk, the better. And when they are talking and they have to talk, I think Scarlett should talk for him, because, you know, I don't think he's bad on the mic or anything like that, but cutting a promo like that just made it seem normal. He had to endure those dumb, you deserve it chants. So it just kind of made him seem human. And the less he talks, the better for me.
That's a good point. I like her talking more, because then it adds to the aura, because her just standing there making faces at him like, oh my god, I love you so much. That's literally what she looked like throughout this promo, which is okay, but I do like her being the one that speaks for him, and he just stands there and looks badass. So yeah, I'm with you, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was great, but I'm a big Karrion Kross fan, and I think just seeing him finally get that moment after we know how he went the last time when he won the title and had to relinquish it immediately, it was cool to see him get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's gonna be champion for quite some time, well into when NXT is doing shows in front of crowds again. I think this is a good pick. Good face of the brand. I think rematch with Finn might be in order, but who would you like to see step up, Alfred, and challenge him next?
Well, we're going to get into it a little later, but I would love to see Santos Escobar eventually. Maybe not this early, because if it was this early, it kind of tells you he's not going to win the world title, but maybe Santos Escobar goes back and forth with Kushida. Who knows how that's going to play out, but I really want to see Santos Escobar and Karrion Kross in the near future.
Yeah. Although I think with Finn, a loser leaves NXT match could be a really good way to get Finn back to the main roster.
Sure. And then, you know, Kyle O'Reilly isn't that bad of a choice, because he did come out the big winner in the main event, and that's somebody who Karrion Kross can beat pretty convincingly, and it is a credible win given, you know, what they've done for Kyle O'Reilly recently.
Jackson Callens, $4.99, saying, didn't watch the show, just showing my support. Have a killer show. I got to go channel my inner Michelle Branch. Don't ask, LOL. Is that your tactful way of saying goodbye to you, Jackson Callens?
That could mean a lot.
Jackson, I'll see you this weekend in Vegas. Which would be good. Jackson's making the drive out. Going to help with some of my remodel once take possession before I move in. So excited about this. Ray J's World, $5, saying, y'all think the Garganos will track down Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis and Buzzkill and Indy's romantic fling with Dexter?
Yes, that was a weird segment at the end. I mean, we don't have to talk about it now, but I thought it was just, like, we'll talk about it later.
Anthony Weising, maybe Drake Maverick calls out Kross, so probably not good for Drake Maverick. I mean,
that'd be a fun little 2.5 second match.
Although I got to say, Drake Maverick teaming with my boy Danity Kane tonight to take on MSK for the NXT tag team titles. And the pairing of these guys. How long have they been doing this?
I actually don't know.
Drake and Killian Dane, how long have they been teaming?
Yeah.
I want to say close to a year now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, about a year.
So I guess here's my question. Yeah. Is Killian making Drake being taken more seriously, or is Drake making Killian be taken in a more lighthearted fashion?
I think it's the other way around.
I think
like the second one.
It's a balance. It's a balance. They balance each other.
I just want a segment of Drake shaving Killian's back. That's all I want.
They could have done a lot with these guys. I'm actually kind of disappointed with, because it looks like they're now kind of going to tease them breaking up. But this had a lot of potential for a very funny comedy duo in terms of them being strange bedfellows and how funny Drake Maverick is with most of the stuff he gets. So I am very disappointed with how this went if they are going to break up.
What was interesting tonight, so they defeated Brazongo, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Takeover for this opportunity night against MSK. MSK picking up the win. So talk a little bit about MSK for people tuning in. They debuted, I think, right after I started watching on Wednesdays. They were previously the Rascals in Impact, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dez and Wentz, yes.
Yeah. And by all accounts, they're off to a great start. This match tonight was really, really good. I think everything in NXT just seems better. I mean, I don't want to be one of those, you know, rose-colored glasses of saying like, oh, everything is better in NXT. But it feels like whether it's the tag team division, the women's division, the men's division, the promos, everything just feels more authentic. Tonight also, I will say, compared to the last time I tuned into a regular weekly NXT, tonight felt like it had more room to breathe. I feel like they were trying to get through these shows so fast with AEW and counter program segments and just keep it moving because they were so afraid of people flipping the channel. This felt more like old school NXT to me. And I mean that in the best possible way, because NXT is really what got me back into watching wrestling. And this had that feel where it felt big time, but also at the same time, a little more developmental, a little more real. I felt more invested watching tonight's show than I have on the ultra fast paced wall-to-wall action shows they were giving us against AEW.
I felt the same way, and I think a lot of it is not just the new weekday that we're seeing it on. It's because we went into tonight with a lot of new champions. MSK just won their titles at TakeOver. So did Raquel. So did Karrion Kross. So it felt so fresh to see all these people on top and wonder what is next for them, because it's all brand new feuds. I mean, we would assume we still don't know who's going to challenge Raquel or Karrion Kross, but it just felt... It felt very refreshing to me, because NXT does the long title reigns, they do. But you don't see it. You don't see a show going so many brand new champions at once like we did tonight. It was exciting. That's the part that I just couldn't like stop thinking about. I'm like, we have so many new champions. I don't know who's going to challenge who. MSK is already defending the titles, and which feels great because those titles were vacated. So it's good to see those titles back in action and mattering again. It was a fun show.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, Robert Stone, who is even flashier now.
Great
gloves.
Watching those gloves with Aaliyah backstage. And Mercedes Martinez wants the rest of her money. So what was the money story? I don't know the background between this, but Mercedes Martinez wants the rest of her money from Robert Stone.
Well, it was actually kind of clever how they did it, because they had to replace Jesse Kamea. I believe that was the week where there was an outbreak for COVID, so she wasn't available. So they replaced her with Mercedes Martinez, and the story was Robert Stone had paid her to kind of stand in for Jesse Kamea, but he only paid her half the money. So the fact that they're still following up on this, it's been a few weeks, and this is about how long it takes when somebody doesn't want to pay you back. It takes a few weeks for you to start being like, all right, man, like, come on, like, my Venmo's been empty for a while now. We need some money. So she really pulled up on him, and I thought it was really great. And they just kind of tied that into her being this kind of convincing heel who now is going to challenge Raquel Gonzalez. And I mean, Mercedes Martinez is one of the most convincing, legit tough people in that company. So I thought she was really
good. No joke. Yeah, I think her versus Raquel will be great. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the aftermath of the unsanctioned match with Kyle O'Reilly defeating Adam Cole from TakeOver Night 2. And I loved both of them side by side in the local medical facility. It was very kind of Rocky, the beginning of Rocky 2, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea they're both in there. I loved Cole yelling it at Kyle. I think it's gonna be great to see where this goes from here. And then we went right into Mercedes Martinez versus Jesse Kamea. And Mercedes getting a pretty solid definitive win here pretty quickly. She looks like such a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, I cannot wait to see her and Raquel. I think they're going to have an amazing program together because both of them look badass. Like, they could kick each other's butts, and it could go either way. Just from the bell ringing and then just staring at each other, you're just going to be like, I don't know who's going to win this. but it was fun to see her back in action, too. I don't think I've seen her wrestling a little bit, but I watched on and off the last few weeks, so...
There's something about, and this is no disrespect to Raw or SmackDown, it's just in NXT, I feel like there's five women that could credibly hold the title.
They do that on purpose. That's why I think it's the best division on the main roster, is because they've now just transitioned from the most dominant champion they've ever had, who, that was the story, is everybody wanted a piece of Io Shirai, and she ran through everybody until she got to Raquel, who Raquel beat her, and then night one of her appearing as new champion, we had Taya Valkyrie, who's now Frankie Monet, challenge. Yeah. We had Mercedes Martinez challenge. We had Lacey Ryan, or not Lacey Ryan, but Zoe Stark now. She challenged, and now she's having something with Mercedes Martinez. So they just built it right back up to where everybody wants that title.
It's good, man. Combo Breaker Buck99 saying the new graphics package for NXT was nice. Did have a good feel tonight. It felt different. I mean, grittier almost, the show. You know, it had a different feel to it. I really enjoyed it. NASCAR fan 8809 $5 saying that Indy Spot was a salute to Sherry Martel in Shawn Michaels' match when Sherry fell on the edge of the ring of the mat. I enjoyed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, now that kind of makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, I was going to say that's a good catch. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Mercedes went after Robert Stone and Aaliyah after the match. Robert Stone, like, to his credit, there's something about being sort of a comedy character, but you can have serious talent contenders in the segment with you, and they do not become comedic by their involvement in the segment. And I feel like Raw and SmackDown has so much separation sometimes. And it's like, if you're in a segment with Akira Tozawa or R-Truth, like, instantly that changes your perception, you know? So I like with Mercedes that she could go from doing something like this to then compete for the title, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, they get serious too. I mean, she was trying to get her money from him, and he was the goof who needed to pay her money. So they didn't bring her down to his level. So that was really good of them.
Stellar Justin Lopez, $4.99, saying this NXT felt like what the Raw after Mania should have been. That Raw last night was a very sad, three sads excuse for a Raw after Mania.
Not enough sads, Justin. You got to send another one and add at least 10 of those.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
One of the worst episodes of Raw I've ever seen.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to me about The Way. This was my first exposure to The Way, Johnny Gargano and his faction. Tonight, because the Gargano way was what he was talking about with Candace probably around the time I stopped watching every week. So Alfred, fill me in on The Way.
They're a fun group of, you know, Gargano and Candace, and then the kids, kind of in the kids role, would be Austin Theory and Indy Hartwell. So it's on another podcast I refer to them as the Suburban Four Horsemen, to where they're just like a family of mom, dad, and the two kids who are kind of with them. So Austin Theory is a dope. He's like a dummy. They did a very funny spot. You know, sometimes it's very hit or miss with this group. Sometimes it's just really not funny and it goes over your head. But tonight they did the thing where they broke and they went one way and he went the other way. So he kind of plays the dope. And then Indy Hartwell is now in love with Dexter Lumis, as you saw. And then Candace and Johnny are just kind of the parents trying to guide their kids in the right direction.
So would you say The Way is closer to a cult or a multi-level marketing scheme?
Definitely a multi-level marketing scheme. But I mean,
yeah, 100% on MLM. 100%.
Yeah. Do not have dinner with these people. They're going to try and sell you Tupperware and Herbalife.
Yeah. More like a timeshare, you know, something like that. Oh,
there you go. Shout out to the Shining Stars. One of my favorite gimmicks. I wish I got one of those brochures.
Puerto Rico. Wasn't that from Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, Shining Star of the Caribbean. Come on. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You know what? And they debuted it on a Raw after Mania in 32. It was in Dallas. I was there. Yeah. And then I remember seeing the Puerto Rican flag. When they debuted them, they put the Puerto Rican flag. So, of course, I went crazy. And then I saw what they were doing. I'm like, really? Because I got so excited seeing the flag, and then they just got that weird video promo with them selling you the timeshare. Oh my god.
I think the Shining
Stars too, the colognes.
They absolutely are, but I think the Shining Stars is the best worst gimmick in recent memory.
Yeah.
Like, it's so terrible, it became brilliant at a certain point. And especially because timeshare humor, if you're under a certain age, you don't even know what a timeshare is. Like, that is old school humor. It's like up there with souffle humor, like in terms of, you know, comedy. So with The Way, I'm excited about The Way. I'm going to get more into this. Then we saw Swerve Scott in the recording studio and calling out Leon Ruff. So we saw what happened with them later tonight, but we had the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight title match, Kushida versus Santos Escobar tonight. And this man, Kushida, I feel like when I stopped watching, Kushida was kind of always walking the line, right? With the Marty McFly gimmick, he was doing stuff with Breezango. Like, he could be taken not as a serious competitor, but tonight with this win and the new Cruiserweight championship, he just looked fantastic tonight and like a very, very exceptionally talented performer.
I mean, yeah, he's so good. It's just, that whole match, that entire match was everything. And I'm a big Santos Escobar fan. I really like the way he looks, the way he carries himself. So I didn't think I would be so okay with him losing, but I was, because the match was that good, you know, like, yeah. I don't even know where to begin to cover it. But yeah, Kushida has gotten a lot. I don't understand. I think it was one of the takeover matches. Alfred, well, I'll get better at this NXT thing. But who did he fight at? Not this takeover, but the one before. Was it Gargano?
No, it wasn't Gargano.
Dream?
No, it
wasn't Dream. The takeover before, I'll have to look that up.
I just remember him having a really good takeover match in which I started like really paying closer attention to him, and just brought it again.
No, and Issa, to your point, this tonight, I'm going to guess for a good 80% of the audience, if it was not their first time watching NXT in a while, this was their first time paying 100% attention to NXT.
Right, that's the problem.
Not having two TVs going, not flipping back and forth, not like out of the periphery of their eye. Like for me, I used to watch one on an iPad and one on TV, and I'd switch it around. Like, this was very interesting tonight that we collectively as a wrestling community had our undivided attention on NXT. So I don't blame anyone. You know, no shame. You're here because you love NXT. You're passionate about professional wrestling. There is no shame about not being a cool kid or knowing 100% everybody's history, backstory, even their names. Like, we're along for this ride together, and this is our chance to get back into NXT and love it with 100% of our hearts.
I absolutely love that you just brought that up, because that's exactly the issue. I would always go back and forward between the two. I never stopped to pay full attention to one or the other. And a lot of times, even though it's in the DVR, you see so many spoilers on Twitter that you don't go back and rewatch it because you feel like you saw everything that happened. Mm-hmm. So it was like a whole different point of view just watching NXT on its own, not having to change the channel and everything. I appreciated it so much more. I'm like, NXT is really good. Why don't I watch it like regularly? Why haven't I been watching it the way that I should? That's a really, really good point to bring up, Glenn.
Yeah, and it was a good show for us to have our undivided attention, because they ran a lot of angles on this show. Yeah. And this match, I'm so glad I got to see it from beginning to end, because it was this tale of three matches for me. The first third, I was just kind of going through the motions, a little bored, and just kind of assuming Santos was going to win. The second third is when I sat up, and I thought Vic Joseph might have been the MVP of this match. I thought he called a hell of a match in terms of, as I was getting more interested, the way he was calling it made me think Kushida had a chance, but I still didn't think he'd win. And then the last third, I was on my feet, like, watching the match, and like every near fall Kushida had, it's like, oh my God, they might give it to Kushida. And when he finally did it, it was almost like looking at like an overconfident favorite in sports, where they're letting the underdog hang around and hang around and hang around. And then at the end, the underdog hits a touchdown or a miracle Hail Mary or something like that and wins the match. So I don't think it made Santos Escobar look bad. I think it was just one of those nights he got caught by a guy who's very talented. Yeah, I loved it. And I think it was Isaiah Swerve Scott that you're thinking of for the last takeover match, because that was a really good match. And Swerve Scott, as you saw tonight, I don't think is capable of having a bad match.
Yeah.
When Escobar, the great thing about Escobar is he's always been treated as such a credible contender that you can put him into a feud with Karrion Kross and, you know, it's believable. It's not failing upward. He's just on to bigger and better things. So I think there's a lot they can do there. We had Dakota Kai out to introduce Raquel Gonzalez, the NXT Women's Champion, the new NXT Women's Champion. And this was really cool. And then interrupted by Frankie Monet, the former Taya Valkyrie. Man, it's like Impact is just running wild over NXT.
Yeah.
It is.
There we go.
I mean, it's crazy, right? It's like, when did Impact become the NXT? I mean, it's been this way for a while, but even more so now, it feels more pronounced. But I've always been impressed with what I've seen of Taya. I think this Frankie Monet character has a ton of potential. You know, it's a debut, so we'll see how she fares. But being launched right into an angle with Raquel, I mean, they clearly believe in her.
Yeah, I love the back and forth between them, throwing the couple of Spanish hit, you know, insults in there. Of course, I pop for that. Raquel needs to be very careful on threatening the dog, because that could totally get people to boo her. I'm dead serious. People will start like not root for her. Don't get the dog involved in this, and she also shouldn't come out with the dog because it could get anxiety. Listen, I always think of Cody's dog at AEW and how much anxiety he got from all the pyro and all that, and I just don't like when they involve animals and things. But it was her debut. She wasn't doing anything dangerous out there, right? I cannot wait to see what she can do. I am a big fan of hers, and she just came out looking like a million bucks today. The puppy looked great, and I like the back and forth between the two of them, and a couple of insults in Spanish that popped me big time.
Yeah, it's great to see her in NXT. I am a little nervous because NXT likes beating people early, and this looks like they're setting up to do that with Frankie Monet, especially when somebody has a name somewhere else. It's almost like they're testing them. So I can see her being an early opponent for Raquel Gonzalez, and I hope they give her at least a couple of wins on her way there, because Taya Valkyrie, I mean, they really need to be pulling the trigger on somebody like that right now as a top star there.
Agreed. NASCAR fan 8809 with a $10 super chat saying, I'm really excited for Taya, aka Frankie Monet. She is a class act and a total badass, and she will get this Monet over. She's very well respected in the wrestling business, and I trust Triple H. She's got an awesome look. I think this character, maybe not the most original character we've seen in NXT, but I think that, I don't know, it's all about how they write the promos, it's all about how they write the angles, and I almost feel like in NXT, the storytelling and the matches are so good that your character could be a little more, it's less of a gimmick and more sort of just a starting point, you know? Yeah. I feel like in Raw or SmackDown, like, man, if you get stuck with a gimmick, like...
Yeah, it's all about the writers and how they are able to portray it. And a lot of times, like you said, a lot of things get space in NXT. They get room to breathe. There's a story that they tell from A to B to Z. I think if Dexter Lumis was on the main roster, he'd be a complete joke.
Oh, my God, the worst
character. I mean, some people don't like him now, and I'm not one of those people, but I like the fact that they pay attention to all the things that make him different, whether it's him being creepy, his art, they intertwine in the storylines. But he would be a one-note creep if he was at Raw or SmackDown.
You're so right.
They would have it out there painting during the matches, and then they'd be selling the paintings on WWE Shop. They'd be selling NFTs of the paintings.
They wouldn't even let him paint. They'd just have him carry out a bucket of paint. He's about to paint, and then they spill the bucket of paint all over him. They would do all kinds of silly stuff with him. See, I'm giving him ideas. Somebody's sitting there like, yes, it's kidding.
Let's call him up. He's going to debut on Friday, I'm telling you. I will say one thing. It's going to take some time to get used to calling him calling her Frankie Monet. Like, I don't know about the name. I know she'll get it over. I know we'll get used to it. But it's very hard when somebody, like Glenn was saying, has made a name at a different company, and they come in, and then you have to start calling them. I still call Damian Priest Punishment. I still do. Like, I don't like Damian Priest for him. And I'm struggling with that name for her as well. But doesn't matter. She's awesome, and I'm looking forward to it. So I don't care what they named her. I'm just glad that she's here.
I admit I was
Zoe Stark, Lacey Ryan just tonight. I still call her Lacey Ryan. So yeah.
I was telling my wife about Frankie Monet, and I might have called her Frankie Muniz at one point. Like, just I've got to retrain some things.
He had a dog too in Shiloh. Didn't he star in Shiloh?
What?
He starred in that movie Shiloh with the dog. He had
a dog. You're out nerding me, Alfred, on movie trivia. Okay, there you go. Ray J's World $5 saying, I think there's something more to the Roderick Strong leaving. Everyone keeps saying he's going to the main roster. I don't think so, and we'll talk about that segment. But hey, while we have the new champ out there, she was joined by Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, all three champions in the ring together. This didn't feel forced, and I like that they had the photo that was making the rounds on social media. I like them hugging. I just think they all look like such superstars, and it feels weird to say this, but given the women's evolution, given everything we saw with the Four Horsewomen, with Ronda Rousey, with Asuka, this really feels like the moment when a new generation of female talent has all arrived to the top at once. This is special. Iterative. Yeah. You know?
It was so special. And listen, I do reactions on my YouTube channel, so I always have a camera in front of me as I'm watching. And tonight they're going to get to see me actually tear up. Bianca has a weird effect on me. She makes me cry. I don't understand why. She's so relatable. When she won at WrestleMania, I like the tears rolling down and I'm not a crier. I was like, why does that girl? That's how good she is. That's when you know you have something special in someone, is when they can get to your emotions like that. Because when Rhea interrupted, you expected that, right? Rhea and Raquel have such a history. When they surprised me was when Bianca, like, even when I heard the sound, it took me a second to look up there. I was like, are they really doing this? And it felt so Four Horsewomen hugging at the end of NXT takeover in Brooklyn after Sasha and Bayley finished their amazing match. I remember that moment. I got the exact same vibes and energy from this moment. I want Evolution too. Like, it's just, I was all in my feelings. Like Glenn said, it was because it wasn't forced. I wasn't expecting this at all. It was an amazing moment. I popped.
Yeah, Justin Lopez, $4.99, saying this gave me all the vibes back to NXT Brooklyn in 2015. This was their horsewoman moment. And it's long overdue. I mean, it's hard to believe 5.5 years since we've had this fresh of a change in the women's division.
I think that's almost, I don't think it's overdue. I think it's perfect timing because it marks the beginning of a new era. Like, and that's only 5.5 years. So you had the 2015 era that kind of filtered out, and maybe they could have done this a little earlier, but I like the fact that now here's this era, and maybe in another 5 years, you're going to get the next three women who came from NXT and, you know, are celebrating. And I just like the timestamps of NXT's legacy. I thought this was so great. The only thing, and this isn't really a complaint, but I just, in all the women that they added in terms of people who could potentially challenge for Raquel, I would have liked the camera on Dakota Kai when she had to leave the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Three women have their moment because Raquel really put over, I can always tell when WWE's setting up like a feud for the future, Raquel really put over how Dakota Kai is her best friend, this, that, and the other. She made all these talking points. So you know that maybe by SummerSlam, they're going to have a match and it'd be great to see it. Maybe they do. Maybe they have that footage of Dakota Kai having to leave while her best friend and those other two women have their moments. And she's just like, I'll get you one day. Like, I'd really like to see that. But this was a perfect moment. It didn't need anything like that.
That's a good point. That might be footage that we see later on. But I do think they understood that was such a feel-good moment that we don't need to. Let's let it happen. And maybe we can, because you have to play into that. She's talking about how good of a friend she is. And here she is hugging with these other two girls. That will hurt anybody. So, yeah, I'm with you. But I think they understood that. Let's let this moment happen because this is something special. It was so cool.
Right.
Chronoshot, $2, saying, was this a face turn for Raquel or just tonight?
It feels like a face turn. It's especially if Martinez is calling her out and Frankie Monet, who's clearly a heel, is calling her out. Yeah. And Matt did say something that I really did like on our last show, in that Raquel Gonzalez, she, as much as she's got this great $1 million smile and she's got a great personality and whatnot, but he doesn't like the fact that she smiles so much. And I only agree because she's got such a great mean face. And she's such a great giant. And not necessarily that she has to be this kind of stoic giant, but she's so good at looking like a threatening, mean giant. And I thought there was a little more to do with her as a heel. But either way, she's already a big star in NXT. So if she's going to feud with Mercedes Martinez, I would love to see it. It'd be very convincing.
Yeah. Alan Kahn, Canadian $5, saying, at least with Taya, Frankie Monet, they let her keep calling herself. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Issa.
La güera loca.
And now what does that mean for those of us that failed high school Spanish?
Güera is not a term that I'm very familiar with. I think that's more of a Mexican term, and I guess it would be like saying the crazy Spanish girl, basically.
Yeah,
we don't use that term. We don't
like blonde or white girl or something like that?
Yeah, the internet is telling me it's a slang version of Güera, which is blonde.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's the thing with Spanish. Like, we can understand it, but we all have such different slang. That is not something that we will use, like, in the Caribbean area. We don't use that word.
Yes. Imagine my disappointment seeing in different cultures what menudo means in Puerto Rico.
It's changed.
Versus in Latin America.
Menudo for us is change, like coins.
Yes. As a child, I saw banners outside Mexican restaurants saying Menudo Tuesday, and I was very disappointed. After this segment, I agree though, Dakota Kai, there's a good angle there, I think. There's so much they can do with this. This is exciting.
I have faith in NXT. Raw would have forgotten this in 2 weeks. Dakota Kai would have beat her in a non-title match, and then they don't follow up in 3 months.
Yes, and we had William Regal teasing new female talent. Who's this new prospect that we saw a vignette for tonight, Alfred?
Sarai, she's a former Japanese star, and she's coming to NXT. They've been teasing her for a while now, and I have a lot of faith in her. I think they're going to do a good job with her in terms of her in the women's division, although it is very crowded in the women's division, so I don't know how they're going to make room for her, but hopefully she'll be able to find her way because, I mean, they're really building her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been.
And then Roderick Strong with Marina Shafir backstage in Regal's office, and Strong's handing Regal paper saying he's done.
You guys believe it?
No. No, I mean, I wonder. I always feel like he's the adopted child of the Undisputed Era, right? Because he came into it later on. So I wonder if he's just like now going to an orphanage because his parents broke up. I don't know, but I don't believe it. I think there's going to be a swerve to this. But it's interesting. I was so intrigued. I'm like, what is he doing and why? And why are we not talking about the other two members of the Undisputed Era when Adam Cole and O'Reilly are going insane at each other? So I have a feeling there's going to be a swerve later on to this.
Yeah, and for those of you looking for Adam Cole to be called up, as you saw in the footage, it looks like they're going to continue Cole versus O'Reilly, and I do see Roderick Strong coming back for the next match they have and siding with Adam Cole. Mm.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if you caught the media call with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and they got so aggravated at people asking, are they coming up? Is Adam Cole coming up? Is Kyle O'Reilly coming up? And Shawn Michaels was like, why do you guys assume that? They obviously have unfinished business here. Me, I don't want anybody to get called up. I love my NXT talent, and they have ruined everybody in the main roster. Like, they don't know how to use them. Then keep them in NXT, because it just feels like a waste. So I don't want anybody to get called up. I don't know why people keep asking. Like, don't put ideas in their head.
Triple H and Shawn would just be like, we've seen how this goes. You really want this to happen.
Careful what you wish for, guys.
Yeah, seriously. So Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Swerve getting a pretty dominant win here. What did you think of this match, Issa?
It was a lot of fun, I thought. More fun than I expected it to be. I sat down, I was like, okay, this is a quick opportunity to go get water. And I'm walking to the kitchen and I'm hearing the slaps. Like, I can hear them. I'm like, they are, like, going at it. I came right back because I didn't expect them to, like, be that physical. And I'm not familiar with them. I'm not too familiar with them. So, it was my break match real quick to get ready for the show. And then I was like, I could not stop watching it. As soon as I heard how they were chopping each other, like slapping each other, a lot of fun. I mean, the in-ring action tonight, every match was good. There was nothing to complain about when it comes to in-ring action tonight. It was really, really good. And I love this match as well. And I know I sound repetitive, but NXT put on a really good show. You had everything you could ask for in good in-ring action, title changes, surprises. Like, it was perfectly booked, which frustrates me because it's the same company that booked whatever that was last night.
Yeah.
It's really not the same company, though, is it?
You know what I mean.
Administration. That's a good point. It's different people who are in charge.
Right, but I don't understand how you come up and look at the script from last night and go, okay, this is great, we're going to go in the air. And then you look at this and you go, I don't think they could have booked a more perfect show. And I do think they had a little bit of pressure going into Tuesdays. So they delivered. Let's see what they do next week and they can follow up. But to the point of Glenn, like, the match was great, but so was everything else on this show.
Yeah, everything on the show was a perfect combination of pro wrestling, like the actual in-ring wrestling, and then storytelling. Like, they had the segment with Isaiah Swerve Scott before this match to kind of get you into it. And between Kushida pulling that upset and the fact that they do let Leon Ruff win, an upset here and there, he was a North American champion. I thought this match could have gone either way, and that helped in that I didn't know who was going to win, and I just thought these guys were so great in there together. I mean, Swerve Scott, I always say to myself, Swerve Scott has great chemistry with so-and-so, but he just has chemistry with everybody. He's got that Gargano quality to him where he knows how to have a great match with anybody. And Leon Ruff is very exciting to wrestle. I love his comeback. I think it's so exciting.
They have really good chemistry.
This is a cool match. And I love this face-off backstage. Zoe Stark, who defeated Toni Storm at TakeOver in a bit of an upset or surprise victory, and facing off with Mercedes Martinez at the end of this promo. Like, not knowing the full story with these, what these women have been up to lately, not having watched in a while, just the physical presence that each of them had in this face-off. Like, I am so on board for this match.
You know what's ironic is that I kind of want NXT to now have a ranking system in terms of this women's division. I want to look at like
a lot
of credible contenders. Who's number one? Who would be number two and three and four? So I think that would really work with this women's division the way they book it.
Yeah, I agree. They need it. And to Glenn's point, I do think that they took into consideration that they were going to have a lot of people that haven't been watching the product consistently tonight. And they booked the show around that to where you could still have a blast and not feel lost. Like, I sometimes try to tune into AEW and I feel a little bit lost in the way that they explain the stories or the factions or who's with who. Where I feel like tonight they knew that they were going to get eyes in their product that is not here every week. And it didn't hurt. It didn't matter if you knew what they were up to before today or not, you could still enjoy the show and understand the storyline. And that's that. Props to them for that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people that were tuning in tonight for the first time and are just really anxious to see what happens next week, which is great. And that's, you know, it's so much to process when you're watching two shows at once. And I'm curious to see how AEW reacts having Wednesdays to themselves tomorrow night. So we had an Imperium video package, or we saw Imperium in a video package with Walter speaking on his dominant title reign, his takeover win over Tommaso Ciampa. Looks like there's still maybe some stuff there left between them.
That match, oh my god, that match between Walter and Ciampa was everything. I hope they have a rematch. I do. I don't like rematches, but in this case, yeah, I want to see them fight forever. Literally, it was so good.
Absolutely. 100%.
So Walter has no travel restrictions now. Like, he's back in business and can.
Yeah, looks like it's open to go. And that wasn't really the problem. I mean, that is the problem during COVID. But Walter has always made it very clear that he wants to mostly be in Germany. He only wants to come to the United States for the big matches and when they need him here and there. But he wants to be based out of Germany and in his home. He likes it there.
There you go. And then Ruff attacked Isaiah Swerve Scott during a promo after that. And then we went to the main event, The Way versus Bronson Reed, Dexter Lumis, and NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. This was a cool main event. Seeing the men and women mix it up like this, lots of good interplay. We had the spot with Dexter and Indy. This was a lot of fun. And I think this was a good way to showcase a lot of talent. Alfred, what did you think of this match for the main event tonight?
It was a very funny match. This is another thing that reminded me of Raw After Mania, and that for the main event, they usually do those kind of stacked tag team matches. So they did a good job having the women work with the men and here and there. Can somebody explain to me what this kidnapping thing is with Indy Hartwell, where she has to pretend like she's asleep for this guy to be interested in her? Because you want to talk about people watching this product cold and not understanding NXT. Like, that was a very weird visual to where, oh, now he's interested in her. As long as she's limp, so we can carry
her. Well, this is still WWE at the end of the day, Alfred. So, you know,
I actually don't think anybody understood it, right? Because I was having the exact same vibe that you're having. So, of course, what do? We get on Twitter, and all I'm reading is the same thing. People are like, this is weird, but I'm laughing. This is weird. This is weird. So I was like, okay, nobody's going to explain it to me. I don't know. It is a little weird, but I did smile a couple of times, especially when she did the evil stare at the camera. Like, I'm not dead. Yes. I'm just faking it. Like, I paused. Very I thought it was great.
Yeah, you don't want the clip of him just carrying off Olympia well into the distance. You at least want that, you know, well, she's fine, everybody.
It was so funny. I really like Dexter Lumis and his storylines. And like, you're right, in the main roster, this probably wouldn't translate and people would think it's weird, but there's just something about him. And they didn't do any continuation to him in LA Knight tonight. And I remembered he had a moment with LA Knight too at the Gauntlet match. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that we would get some continuation with that as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, the girl just has a crush on him and she's just trying to, you know, get his interest.
Yeah, this whole match is built around that crush. That's essentially what the story was. And once they left, then they kind of went right into the finish.
Yeah.
But this was cool, though. But yeah, hey, it's WWE. Well, you know, two steps forward, 20 years back with some of the gender politics. But no, this was a good showcase match. And I think if you're tuning in tonight and you kind of want to see what's going on, like, there's a lot of stuff there to take in. I mean, the sheer physicality of Bronson Reed. You've got, you know, Dexter Lumis and his whole vibe. Ember and Shotzi that always look like $1 million. They're probably one of the best. I think they're the best women's tag team in all professional wrestling right now. I mean, who's better?
Well, let's think. I mean, that's a...
There is nobody
as of right now. I mean, in the main roster, you could easily make that argument. Yeah.
Did you not see the turmoil match on Saturday? No, I love women's wrestling. I'm always here for it, but it was not a good match, and it's because you have a bunch of things that are thrown together that are not working together, and these two feel differently. That's why I really wanted the tag titles, and I know I said this before, to just go to NXT. I wanted Nia and Shayna to lose them to Raquel and Dakota Kai at the time, and then just have one set of tag team titles, and then it would have just made things so much more interesting if we would have had a turmoil matches, including some NXT teams in there. Really would have been so much better. But hey, listen, they didn't do that, and now NXT has a stacked tag team division, but it's just making the women on the main roster look bad.
Yeah, and part of this is WWE's doing, and that they had a lot of cohesive teams, whether it was Sasha Bailey, they had the Iconics, they had Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. They had all these teams together that they could have done something with in terms of telling stories and having good matches, and decided to completely break them up and then mix and match. So not only do you not care, now they're not even really having good matches because there's chemistry issues. And I mean, I think that WrestleMania match is a culmination of just a terrible year of booking women's tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the babyfaces won. Bronson Reed, Dexter Lumis, Ember Moon, and Shotzi Blackheart. And Lumis is a babyface.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he's been, yeah. He's definitely got heel tendencies, and he doesn't smile or anything. You know what I loved about Dexter Lumis? He did something that made me laugh out loud, is that Ember Moon went to tag him in, and he just kind of stood there stoically, and he didn't want to put his hand up. So she just had to tag him before he walked in. Like, he refused to move his hand to do any of these actions until he got tagged in. That was very funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious, but Glenn, he's a healer. He's a lover, you know? That's what he does.
Sounds like he's got a crush on him, too.
Maybe. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Just write his name in your notebook, you know, on your shoes. Kids still do that?
I never did that, but I didn't grow up around here, so.
It was just my weird late 80s generation. Brett Murphy, $5, saying good for Shotzi being as charismatic during the match. That's hard to handle after her father's passing 3 days ago. That's right. Her father passed away over the weekend.
She's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
RIP to him.
Oh, absolutely. So final thoughts on tonight. Alfred, to you first.
I love the show. Perfect show. Absolutely perfect show. Any criticism I have is not really a criticism, just kind of, you know, for the sake of discussion and nitpicky or whatever. But I just thought this was such a great new season restart. In addition to it being a new season, they immediately told the stories they want to tell and want you to get invested in for the next year. It felt like watching like Saturday morning pro wrestling when I was a kid, when they would just have those simple wrestling shows that are about the matches, the storylines, and how to get you hooked on wrestling for weeks to come. So I loved it.
Yeah, I thought that I had so much fun watching that show tonight. Like I said, you couldn't ask for more. Everything that you could ask for a perfect show happened tonight. Good storytelling. You had title changes. You had surprise appearances. You just had everything. You had even a puppy. Come on, like, doesn't get any better than that. Good in-ring action. Like, listen, NXT set the bar up here. We'll see what happens next Tuesday. But as of right now, I'm super excited to be part of this and be covering it because I'm already excited for next Tuesday, and that is a feeling that you don't have watching a lot of the product that we watch. So props to them.
Absolutely. So this was great tonight. And hey, here we are, the new Tuesday crew on Wrestling Inc. This is fun. This is good. Look at this. It's
love it.
Practically still light out here on the West Coast.
We're the pro wrestling version of the Breakfast Club. We're Angela Yee.
And Glenn bragging about being on the West Coast and me over here like,
oh yeah, I'm on the West Coast too, Glenn. I know you are.
So I was waiting to see whose side you were going to take, but then I was like, he said LA, he's in LA.
I'm a Midwestern boy at heart, you know, so anyhow, Issa online at NYC Demon Diva, that's Demon Diva with a one, Alfred online at This Is Nasty. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Please give us a follow. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to smash that subscribe button. Is that what the kids say? Smash that.
Got it.
Like you're hanging out with an ex, you're alone together, hanging out, drinking. Smash that subscribe button.
You look young.
Okay, Logan Paul.
Is that what he says?
I think so.
Sure to give us a like, give us a thumbs up.
I found a few locations for Paul near you. The first one is Paul's on Times Square, 136 West 42nd Street, New York. The second one is Paul's Burger Joint at 131 2nd Avenue, New York. The third one is Paul at 328 West 12th Street, New York.
Did you hear this?
This is why I have an Echo Dot here that I kid you not has been on mute for 4 years. Because when Alexa Bliss got called up to the main roster,
my
Echo Dot, like, it's still here in my office, it's still plugged in, still red. It's been on mute for 4 years because I never bothered to unmute it.
Good Lord.
I had to move my Alexa to, like, the living room because I watch TV, I watch wrestling in this area, but now apparently this one is picking random things up too.
Yeah, I have that problem too.
There you go. So everybody, have a great week. Next Tuesday night, we'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Bye.
Good night.